You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air.
Good morning, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Friday, September the 30th. I am your host, Michael Leva, and I am flying solo today as I record this at about 2 a.m. in the morning right now after the Miami Dolphins' first loss of the season to the Cincinnati Bengals, 27-15. And the regular post-game wrap-up show I do each and every Sunday with Tom Earnesty, we're going to do that Friday evening because of this being a Thursday game and it ended so late. Tom and myself will do that post-game wrap-up show on Friday night. This show is going to be more just some quick hitter thoughts here right after the game. And, of course, we're going to dive into the Tua story as I am just seeing a lot of irresponsible journalism online. And I am just going to call some people out by name because it is disgusting what I'm seeing from some respected reporters right now and what they're putting out online. Just playing doctor over Twitter and just putting out false information, which is quite disturbing. So that's what this show is going to be about. But before we get to that, as always, a big shout out to everyone watching and listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. And a big shout out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. If you're on Facebook, be sure to join the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. So regarding this game, honestly, for the situation Miami was in, I thought they played well. And if you look at the stat sheets, and I know, as we saw last week with the Bills, I know the Bills put up 500 yards, ran 90 plays. We only ran 39. Stat sheets don't tell the story. It's not how wins and losses are determined. I think fans would be surprised to know Miami had more first downs than the Bengals. They had more total yards than the Bengals. They had more rushing yards than the Bengals. And they had less penalty yards than the Bengals. But Cincinnati made more impactful plays and more big plays, and that's why they won. The Miami Dolphins left a lot of points on the field, especially in the first half. In the first half, they had wide receivers running wide open. Tua missed on a couple plays. It happens. Obviously, I think if he would have played the full four quarters, he probably would have started to hit on those plays, as he did the previous weeks, where it took him a bit to get warmed up, but then third, fourth quarter is really when he turned it on. We never really got that, though. They left points even in the third quarter when Teddy Bridgewater hit the big pass to Tyreek Hill to give them first and goal inside the five. Miami settles for a field goal. They just left points on the board. Chase Edmonds drops a touchdown pass, leaving points on the board. They have to settle for a field goal early in the game there. Special teams have been terrible all year. And when I say terrible, I mean if you have to give them a grade, it's an F minus. I mean, they are just awful. You had week two against the Ravens. They run back the opening kickoff for a touchdown. Last week versus the Bills, you have the butt punt, which could have lost Miami the game. Very lucky it didn't. Tonight, you had a missed extra point, a blocked field goal, and Cincinnati ran back a punt that Thomas Mostert absolutely destroyed this punt, pinned him back deep. Cincinnati has a big return because Miami's coverage team was terrible. Special teams have been awful this year. And it's a trend now, 3 weeks in a row. So that is another big thing there to keep an eye on. Just overall, it was a tough game. Obviously, the Tua thing overshadows all of it. And it's so unfortunate. In the big picture, though, Miami went through this September stretch, which we said was the most brutal stretch of their schedule, 3-1. And they did so with no Byron Jones, with no Austin Jackson, no matter what you think of him. He pretty much missed all four games. I know he played the first one, but Xavien Howard is less than 100%. That is clear as day. He has a groin issue, and he left this game, and he did not return. he does not look like himself out there this year. Clearly, this groin issue is more serious than he's saying. Waddle was less than 100% tonight. He was limping around out there. Cedric Wilson missed the game. We're only four games into the year. This Miami Dolphins team is the walking wounded right now. They get a few extra days because they played on a Thursday. If there's any a team, if there was ever a team who needed an early season bye week, it's clearly the Miami Dolphins. They're not going to get it. They get a few extra days. That's all they're getting. And hopefully Jones can return. He was on the field pregame running around. So hopefully he's back next week versus the Jets because he is allowed to come off the PUP list then. We'll see. And Xavien Howard will have to monitor because it might be a case of you get back Jones but now you lose Howard. That would be unfortunate. I'd like to have them both on the field at the same time. But this Miami Dolphins team is the walking wounded. They were in a war last Sunday with the Bills and it took its toll on this team clearly. And then when the quarterback goes down, it's just another hurdle that the Miami Dolphins had to do, and they just couldn't overcome that one there. But like I said, 3-1, that's you can't ask for anything more than that. It's a good start to the season. And now the schedule does lighten up some. It does lighten up. You get the Jets. You're going to get, you know, Lions, Bears. Vikings haven't even looked that good, honestly. Pittsburgh, by the time we get to Pittsburgh, they might be starting Kenny Pickett, for all we know. You got Houston in there. So the schedule does soften a bit. And we'll see where this goes. Now, let's get to the big story here regarding Tua, because I know that's obviously what's on the forefront of everyone's mind. And it the injury was so frightening to see. It kind of did, you know, I don't want to say it ruined the rest of the game, but even if you're a fan of the Dolphins, you didn't watch that second. You didn't watch the rest of the game. Probably, I'm taking an educated guess here, knowing how I acted and knowing how Josh Katzker from the same old Dolphin show, we did the live watch party for this game. You can watch us for all 3 hours on YouTube and all the videos are saved up there. You know, it just changed the tone. It changed the demeanor of the fans. And I can only imagine it did so of the players as well involved in the game. First thing, let's get this out of the way on Tua. He was spotted outside the Miami Dolphins locker room after the game. He was wearing a neck brace. He was walking on his own, smiling and talking per reporters who were on site. And he is flying home with the team, which we're going to get more on that later. So Tua is flying home with the team tonight. And he was outside the Miami Dolphins locker room after the game. Just in a neck brace, walking around, smiling. So that's very good signs. Very, very good signs there. And before we get into this Tua story, as there's so much to talk about, we have to agree on the facts. Because if we can't agree on facts, there's nothing to debate. Everyone's entitled to an opinion. What people aren't entitled to make up their own facts. And what I'm seeing in the national media is people are literally making up their own facts. Here are facts. These are things we know 100% to be true that cannot be debated. Tua was injured last Sunday versus the Buffalo Bills. It was a back injury. It was not a concussion. That's a fact. It was not a concussion. I know people saw him stumble when he got up, and I know people saw him not be able to walk real well for a few seconds, and he had the spaghetti legs. That still doesn't make it a concussion, folks, okay? That's number one. The Dolphins nor Mike McDaniel rushed Tua back into that game versus the Buffalo Bills. He was cleared by, and I'm going to say this loud for the people in the back, an independent doctor trained in head trauma who doesn't give two shits, pardon my language, if Tua returned to that game or not. Again, he was cleared not just by the Miami Dolphins medical, not by the Miami Dolphins medical doctors, by an independent doctor trained in head trauma who doesn't care if Tua plays or not. Okay, Tua did not have a concussion last Sunday, nor did he have one Monday, nor did he have one Tuesday. Nor did he have one Wednesday, and up until the injury, he didn't have one tonight. I feel like some people just don't want to hear that, and they just want to ignore that and come up with their own narrative, come up with their own agenda. And let me say something else, too. Not that I'm a doctor, because I said this last Sunday after the game on the post-game wrap-up show. I'm not a doctor, but neither are you, and I feel like not you, the listeners to this, you, as in people in the media or people on social media who just are talking about stuff they're just not educated in. I admit I'm not a doctor, I'm not educated, but I know this. You either have a concussion or you don't. You don't have half a concussion. You don't have a partial concussion. You don't have a light concussion. It's kind of like pregnancy. You're either pregnant or you're not. You have a concussion or you don't. There's no middle ground. So this fact that, well, you know, he was loopy last week. No, folks, you either have a concussion or you don't. And he passed the concussion protocol last Sunday. He didn't have a concussion. And I can say it 1,000 times. Some people in the national media or people who just want to pretty much scapegoat the Miami Dolphins or scapegoat the entire NFL because they just think that's what you do, crap on them no matter what. It doesn't make it true, okay? Two things can be true at the same time. He did not have a concussion last week. He got a concussion tonight. And I think that's where the story lies. And there's so much to talk about. Like, I think at times as fans, we are sort of desensitized to how violent this sport is. We forget, and every so often there's moments like this that remind us that this is a very violent game where any play, any single play could be a player's last play. That's why anytime a player holds out for more money, that's why anytime a player is wanting to redo his contract, I usually side on the side of the player because their window to make money in this sport is very, very small. Not everyone's Tom Brady, folks, who can play for 20-something years or however long he's been playing. That's rare. That's the unicorn. He's the exception, not the rule. Most players have like a 3 to 5 year career. If you're lucky, you get to like 8 to 10. And anything over that, just consider yourself very fortunate. Any single play could be your last. I mean, for those younger fans, remember Daryl Stingley? You know, his career changed on one play. He was set to become like the highest paid player in the league. One play ended it all. You have Steve Young. Steve Young was a top-notch quarterback. He suffered so many concussions, he had to retire. You know, he had offers from various teams to keep playing. He just couldn't go. He had so many concussions. Mike Utley, for those of you, if you don't know the Mike Utley story, head to Google, put in the name Mike Utley. See what comes up. Learn something. Joe Theismann, one sack from Lawrence Taylor. He came back, but it was never the same. That pretty much ended his career. Ryan Shazier, we all remember the Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker, what happened to him a few years ago. You know, these are just name a few. I could go on all night. One play can change a player's career. And this is a violent sport. Violent things will happen on that field. But again, Tua went into this game without a concussion. And that's what some people are just refusing to acknowledge. And if Tua never got hurt, let's say last Sunday versus the Bills, he never got hurt. The same injury would have done the same thing to him tonight, okay? Would have done the same thing to him tonight. And I just think that, well, let me start here. First and foremost, we all hope, everyone here at our website at DolphinsTalk.com, hope nothing but the best for Tua, that we hope he is doing a lot better. He is feeling better, and when he gets home, he can get some rest, and he has no long-term effects from this injury, and that, you know, health-wise, he's doing as well as one could be expected. Now, when and if he returns to the football field this year is secondary to his overall health. If he returns to the field this year, and that isn't it, folks. That's a whole different conversation for a whole different day. If people want to debate whether he's injury prone or not, I'm not having that debate today. It's not the time nor the place. It's not. That's a conversation for another time in another place. If you want to argue, you know, is he still a long-term answer for the Dolphins? Does he miss too many games? Once again, another conversation for another day. These are not conversations for today. We just wish Tua the best. Hope he gets healthy here as quick as possible. And if he returns this year, great. And if not, I think all Dolphins fans, all reasonable, level-headed fans of Dolphins are more than understanding as to why, as that was a very scary injury we saw on the field tonight. Now, let's get into the heart of this. The NFLPA is out there issuing statements, and I'm a little confused as to why. I mean, I understand why. The NFLPA wants to do an investigation. Go for it. Run your investigation. Push the league and do a full comprehensive investigation. Here's why. There's only two possible outcomes, okay? The outcome number one is they find wrongdoing by the Miami Dolphins. And if the Miami Dolphins did something wrong, yeah, those people should be fired and thrown out of the league forever. But again, if they didn't do anything wrong, I want the NFLPA to be as loud and vocal then as they are now. So if they go through this investigation and they find out that every protocol was followed to the letter of the law and Tua was cleared and he had no concussion and everything was followed exactly, I hope the NFLPA is as vocal then as they are right now in sort of casting a pall here over this whole situation, making it seem like rules were violated, that the Miami Dolphins are irresponsible, and that Tua is this, like, loss of the lamb in the woods who can't speak for himself, and everyone's just trying to, like, have no responsibility with him and his body. Because I don't think that's the case. I think this story is a nothing burger. Not in the fact that he was hurt, obviously he was hurt, but in that there's no cover-up, there's no conspiracy, there's no hidden agendas. I think Tua, honestly, you know, I'm the type of guy who thinks Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone when he shot Kennedy. There's no grassy knoll, magic, people hiding in, you know, like the woods there, shooting them there. I just think it's one guy fired off a few shots, got lucky, hit him in the head. Same thing with Tua. He had a back injury Sunday, didn't have a concussion, and on Thursday night he got a concussion. Both things can be true at the same time and be totally unrelated. I think they are. He didn't have a concussion Sunday. He had an injury to his back, and he had a concussion on Thursday. Both things can be true, unrelated, no conspiracy. That's how I feel, because that's how I'm seeing all the evidence right now. That's where it's kind of pointing. Call me crazy. That's how I see this situation. And if the NFLPA runs an investigation and prove me wrong, I'll come back here and say I was wrong. But I don't see that right now. And my biggest problem here is now all of a sudden you go on TV, whether ESPN, Fox Sports, and it's already happening, and like at midnight it was happening, and you go on social media, you know, respected journalists, so I'm going to start calling out by name here, everyone's a doctor. Everyone is a friggin' doctor. Fans, there's fans who are acting that way too. You know, people who probably never read one book in high school, all of a sudden now have a PhD. You know, everyone's a goddamn expert sitting on their couch who don't know nothing about nothing when it comes to head trauma and concussions. And, you know, I spent I spent some time on Twitter just reading through tweets from some of these reporters and stuff and some people from larger outlets. And, you know, I understand now why Twitter is the 16th most popular social media platform. It used to be in the top five. It's now all the way down to 16. And it's because nights like this, the morons take over. Unqualified people who pass themselves off as experts just, you know, flood Twitter with every crazy thought in their head, and they convince other people it's actually true. And, you know, Twitter's disgusting, and I know why anyone with a half a brain is actually fleeing that platform, because Twitter is absolutely disgusting. The national media is here looking for a conspiracy and a story, and there isn't one. Sure, it is sexy to think an NFL team rushed a player and lied about a concussion to get him on the field, only to have him get injured again a few days later, which is a story. Let's make a Netflix movie. Folks, it's just, one problem. It didn't happen. Okay? It didn't happen. Why let the facts get in the way of a good story? And let's get to some of these national media people, because I'm going to call them out. I don't like to do this, but I'm calling them up by name. Josina Anderson of CBS. Josina Anderson's a very respected NFL reporter. She goes on Twitter and goes, "Why is Tua being released from the hospital so quick?" Josina, because the doctors who are qualified and handle this stuff said so. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you feel. You were a ballet dancer before you became an NFL reporter. You're not qualified to ask or question why doctors are releasing someone with a concussion out of the hospital. He didn't die. He had a concussion. It was scary looking in the moment, but they put him through a battery of tests. And unless you're saying the doctors at the Cincinnati hospital are in on the conspiracy too, these nurses and these all these doctors, they're in on this to sort of screw over Tua and not put his health first. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I mean, how can you say that? Why is he being released from the hospital so quick? Because the doctor said he could. He's just getting on a plane to fly home. Hey, it's not like he lost a limb. I mean, yes, concussions are scary, don't get me wrong, and they should be treated and such, but if the medical professionals are saying he's healthy enough to go on a plane and fly home, who are we to question that? Those doctors aren't lying. They have no reason to lie. What's their agenda? They have none. Jimmy Trania of SI. And I like Jimmy. He's a media reporter for Sports Illustrated, a very popular podcast, smart, bright guy. He goes on Twitter and writes, the Amazon halftime show makes no mention of what happened to Tua on Sunday against Buffalo. Now, here's the part where it gets bad. No mention of the Dolphins letting him play after he literally didn't know where he was. Jimmy, did you talk to Tua last Sunday? Were you at Hard Rock Stadium? Were you in the medical tent? Were you in the locker room with him? And you can say he literally didn't know where he was? That's just making shit up. It's literally making shit up. If he literally didn't know where he was, man, he played a hell of a second half. And man, he was very lucid talking to the media. I know those are, not signs that he maybe didn't have a concussion. But it's like you can't say he literally didn't know where he was because you don't know that. And that's what you're saying. That is irresponsible journalism from Jimmy. Mike Florio, you know, everyone knows Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Deserved or not, more than a few people are going to lose their jobs over what happened tonight, I think. Who? Who's going to lose their jobs over this? Now we're going to get people fired because a player got a concussion on the field. Again, there was an independent doctor in at one dart at every football game. And they have no agenda to lie to rush a player back on the field. They don't root for a certain team. They don't care. So who's losing their jobs? That's what I don't understand. Unless you think that the Miami Dolphins doctors are lying, and so is the independent doctor. He's lying, and they're all going to... None of this makes any sense. Andrew Brandt, who worked with the Packers for many years, smart guy. We all know he was compromised already from Sunday. I mean, same deal. Shannon Sharp. It's Shannon Sharp, who I believe that the Dolphins lied about the Tua injury Sunday and put him in this predicament. Well, you know, a lot of people, they believe a lot of things. It doesn't make it true. So, you know, some people believe in Santa Claus. Some people believe in the Tooth Fairy. Some people believe in UFOs. Doesn't make any of them true. So, Shannon, you can believe whatever the hell you want. Don't make it true. You know, there's one guy here in our country who believes he won the last election. He didn't. So people believe a lot of stuff. Don't make it true. Emmanuel Acho, whatever his name is there from Fox Sports. This is another priceless one. Truth be told, Tua should probably never have been playing. He, another PhD here. He displayed neurological trauma last week. He displayed neurological trauma last week. We disregarded it and labeled it as a back injury, in quotes. Emmanuel, you're not qualified to talk about neurological trauma. You're a dumb football player. Sorry for being blunt. And now you're on TV. You're not qualified to talk about neurological trauma and putting back injury in quotes. No, he really had a back injury. Okay? He really did. So don't put that in quotes. RG3, and I like RG3. He's been very good on TV. RG3, the Dolphins will have to answer for this. Oh, clutch your pearls, RG3. The Dolphins, answer for what? Football's a violent sport. People get hurt all the time. And there's 100 more of these. I just had to, you know, I had to stop the list at some place, or else I'd be up to like 8 a.m. before I recorded this, and I didn't want to do that. But everyone is assuming that there's a massive cover-up here. I think sometimes people want a story where there isn't one, and that's clearly the case here. And not to repeat myself, two things can be true at the same time. No concussion Sunday, had a different injury. Concussion on Thursday. It's not that crazy to think. People get hurt all the time in this league. People get concussions, unfortunately, all the time in this league. And you got people here, there were some other reporters and stuff online who were talking about lawsuits. Who's suing who? That's what I want. Here's the thing, folks, about unions. The NFLPA works for the players. If the player's not going to file a complaint, they can't just blindly sue the NFL. I mean, you need a complaint. You need a complainant. I don't understand people talking lawsuits. Who's suing who? That's what I know the NFLPA is going to say, we have to protect the player from himself. And I get that on some level, but not when it comes to lawsuits. You need a complaint. I mean, that's some of this stuff. Like I said, irresponsible journalism. A lot of people who are not doctors acting like doctors. And it's just, they're going to push a narrative here. And I'm telling you right now, if you thought the talking heads like the Colin Cowherds, the Mike Florios, the Chris Sims, the Keyshawn Johnsons, Chris Canty's in that group, if they annoyed you before, just tune them out on Friday. Tune them out on Saturday. Don't watch any pregame shows on Sunday, because they're all going to be out there with daggers. They're all going to be out there with daggers pushing this, you know, on some level, it's a false narrative. I'm not saying, look, as I said, if the Dolphins did something wrong, they all should be punished. Throw them all out of the league and never let them come back. I don't think they did. I think he legitimately had a back injury. Hell, the play he had, the back injury, is on tape. You can see it in real time when it happened. And I know people want to think he had a concussion Sunday. I just don't think he did. And there's no evidence to point to it. Why would the Dolphins lie? That's the thing. Why would the Dolphins lie? It's week 3, week 4. The season's so long. If he had a concussion, what's the worst thing that happens? You lose to the Bills, you lose to the Bengals, you're 2-2. You get 10 days off, then you play the Jets. He's probably back by then. Why would you lie? It doesn't make any sense. What's the end game? So, and if he did have a concussion on Sunday and you lied about it, why would you play him on Thursday? You could just said the back injury, he can't play. Once again, they're either really bad liars or they're just not lying. And I'm going to go with they're just not lying. In regards to Teddy Bridgewater, because I got a feeling we're going to be seeing Teddy here for a few weeks, if not the rest of the year. Again, that's another conversation for another day. But safe, educated guess here. We're going to see Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback, here for a few weeks, if not the rest of the year. Give him a chance, Dolphins fans. I know a lot of Dolphins fans, the only images they can keep in their mind of Teddy Bridgewater are that, was it the second preseason game where he took that horrible sack because he kept running backwards? Once again, it was a preseason game. A lot of the players around him aren't even on his team anymore, nor in the NFL. And the two passes he threw last week versus the Bills. If you're letting three total plays let you come to a conclusion on Teddy Bridgewater, that's on you. Teddy Bridgewater is going to be fine. Teddy Bridgewater is a capable quarterback in this league. He could start for like five teams in this league right now. He could start for Seattle. He could start for Atlanta. He could start for Houston. There's a few teams he could start on right now. He could probably start for the Jets, honestly. He could start for a handful of teams in this league. He played well last year when he was on the field as a starter. And I think he's going to be fine. You have to remember, he has gotten no first-team practice reps. He is running an offense that's more catered to Tua. Now, Mike McDaniel is going to be able to cater an offense to him and his strengths. He's going to be fine. And I would not be nervous at all if Teddy has... Oh, look, is he Tua as good as Tua? No, of course not. I'm not naive to think otherwise. But to think that the season's automatically over, we're going to have no chance, the offense isn't going to score any points, I think that's not the case. I think he's going to be fine. And, excuse me, there's that cough. People are just overreacting there. And we'll see what happens. We'll see how long he has to play. He might be out there the rest of the year. I don't know. But we'll take that one day at a time as it comes. And I know everyone's going to be screaming for Skylar Thompson. Guys, girls, this team is 3-1. And you got a soft part of your schedule coming up. This is not the time, nor the place, to put a 7th-round draft pick on the field and give him the keys to the kingdom. It's just not. Okay. If they were 1-3, I'd say go for it. At 3-1, there's no way you do that. You ride Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy's going to win you some games here. They might not be pretty. They might be low scoring in some weeks. They might be, you know, coming down to field goals last minute. But Teddy's going to be fine. And give him a chance. Just don't write him off. I know a lot of Dolphins fans have already written him off. And they just have labeled him as some loser and who can't play. You're wrong. I'm telling you, you're wrong. Trust me on this. If you don't trust me on anything else, trust me on this. Teddy's going to be fine. And we'll see where this goes. Obviously, like I said, thoughts and prayers are with Tua and his family. His family was at the game, which is good when something like this happens, so they could meet him at the hospital and be with him. So I guess that's one of those ironic things there that they happen to be there at the game. But it is what it is. As I said, having myself with the post-game wrap-up show on Friday. We'll probably have more news here regarding Tua and such. And keep checking out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. For all the latest news and updates in regards to Tua and what's going on this week with the Miami Dolphins, as they now have 10 days off before they take on the New York Jets at the Meadowlands, MetLife Takeover, next game for them. And at 3-1, this team's still sitting in a good spot. And Teddy Bridgewater, I think, is going to be okay here once he gets some first-team reps and once Mike McDaniel can figure out what's the way to use him best. And we're going to get back some players around him and get some people healthy before next game. So don't be down on Teddy. I know a lot of fans are down on Teddy. I think he'll be fine. So everyone have a great Friday. Everyone have a great weekend. And we will talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.